Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Everyone sit back and enjoy. Let's start with the intro, and let's get the show on the road. It's the Rad Reality Show, the amazing Sunday night, and this is Ron Rad.
Tonight we talk Amazing Race. If you guys have a question, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Welcome, Amazing Race fans, to Rad Reality Show Network's second pit stop show finale of season 23. I am Paul from Minnesota. And tonight we have a guest host, guest co-host, I should say, Richard, also known as Mr. Mac, because Cherry is still at the Toys for Tots event in New Hampshire. And as always, our show will be hosted by Mary Conley from The Amazing Race Seasons 10 and Season 11, which was All Stars. And that's about the best I can do for an opening. I'm not used to doing that, but hopefully we'll have a good time tonight. And first, I want to say hi to Richard. How did you enjoy it, Richard?
Oh, I thought it was a good finale. Beautiful scenery. Love that the final puzzle. I thought it was fantastic.
Yes, it certainly was.
I was hoping to be more of an equalizer, but Jason and Amy had just a big lead. It was going to be real difficult for the others to catch up.
I agree, and I'm sure we'll touch on that as the show goes on. But want to bring up our host and our introductory theme music for Mary.
Oh, keep the lights on. Cars on a truck and a sundress on my baby girl. Oh, keep the bills paid. Clothes on the backs and the shoes on the feet in a high school hall. I'm proud to say that oh, keep the lights on.
Welcome, Mary, and I want to first of all say thank you for agreeing to delay our show for 30 minutes. It didn't happen in the entire country, but it happened for me and also for Richard that football went late, and we just finished watching the ending of Amazing Race about 25 minutes after the hour. So thank you for delaying, Mary. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. No problem.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
That's Richard. He's he's known in the chat room as Mr. Mac. But
Richard. Mac. And Jerry tells me you're from Tennessee.
Yes, I'm from. I'm live in Nashville.
Well, great place. I went to college in Tennessee.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
So certainly the other thing happening for nearly the entire country is the very cold winter weather that has pushed across. How are you guys being affected? Mary, what's it like out in eastern Kentucky?
Oh, flooding.
What?
We've had nothing but rain.
Same here.
Since, I would say, Thursday.
So it hasn't switched over to snow yet?
We had some ice this morning, but right now it's still pouring down the rain.
Are you supposed to get snow, either of you guys?
Well, they're saying that it might turn over to snow, but it hasn't. That's what they called for last night, too, but it turned to ice this morning. Yesterday, we were without power for 9 out of 12 hours.
Wow.
Because from 10 o'clock yesterday morning till 2:30 yesterday day, we were without power, and then it went back out at 5:55 and didn't come back on until after 11.
Wow.
Just a lot of rain here.
What we're having, too.
Now, west of us, around the Memphis area and some of the a few counties over toward the west, a lot of ice, bad ice there. But just mainly here, it's just been kind of cold and rainy. That's about it.
Well, you don't
have a Tennessee accent.
What's that?
You don't have a Tennessee accent.
I used to do work for a radio station, and I was a what they call a bumper announcer. And so, basically, I had to lose my Tennessee accent. It does slip in every once in a while.
Well, bless your heart.
Well, it's not that. It's been very winter-like, almost like February weather for us here the last several days. We've had probably over the last 4 days a total of 8 inches of snow where I live. The temperatures haven't gotten out of the single digits. Overnight, we've been down to -5 to -11. So that's why I was thinking the rest of the country might be having snow as well. But I would like to have rain, but not without power.
But 2 hours from us is completely filled with snow. My sister lives up near Snowshoe, West Virginia, and it started snowing yesterday and has not stopped.
Wow. Well, one thing right at the end, and it's because it's more fresh in my memory, one thing apparently we got wrong was the name of the next season. They are calling it an All-Stars, and I didn't have time to pause and look, but I assume that all the teams that we saw are the ones going to be on. Was that your assumption or your conclusion, Mary?
No, because Phil said, which one of these?
Ah.
So I do believe the spoilers that I've read, I'm hoping, but I just wished it was Mark and Bopper together.
Yeah.
The spoilers, it's told that it's not. It's told that it's Mark and Mallory.
Right. Well,
that's kind of the best of both worlds because I like Mallory a lot, and I'd like to see her back on again. So, yeah, I'd like to see Mark and Bopper together, but like I said, best of both worlds, at least Mallory's going to be back on again. I really like her a lot. She's a really nice person.
She is.
Yep. And I don't remember hearing any spoilers that the Globetrotters were on, and they showed them, didn't they?
Yeah, I've heard they were on.
Oh, that they
are?
Me
and Jerry's actually talked about it. Yeah.
For me at least, turned out the way I was hoping. Tonight's finale. I've been a fan of Jason and Amy for a while. I think I was also influenced by Michelle Costa actually being friends with Amy, but I really thought they played a great game throughout the season. But anyway, so this was it opened with them being in Indonesia, you know, hot Indonesia, and ending up in Alaska was kind of a big switch. But they showed Leo and Jamal left first at 7:25 in the morning, and I'm on the wrong page.
No.
I'm on the wrong page.
That was.
I thought, wait a minute, I heard myself say that as well. Okay,
Jason and Amy left first at 1:25.
Yeah, they were in Indonesia still, but
yes.
Anyway, so Jason and Amy left first at 1:25 in the morning, and they were told they would be flying to Tokyo and to a temple that had hundreds of ceramic cat statues. And Jason and Amy said that they were going to try to continue to work with Travis and Nicole. They went to a travel agency and saw that there were two flights, one arriving at 6:10 and one at 6:20 in the morning. And so we were already given that information, knew that that would come into play at some point. But then second people to leave were Tim and Marie 1 hour later. I didn't remember that they were that far behind, but they left at 2:25 a.m. And then Nicole and Travis at 2:26, and Leo and Jamal, who had a non-elimination leg to save them last week, left at 3:19 a.m.
That was surprising to me because I thought they were way more behind than – you know, just an hour behind, less than an hour behind Nicole and Travis.
For Leo and Jamal, yeah. And
yeah.
Did you remember Jason and Amy having an hour lead over Tim and Marie from last week?
I mean, you know, we don't get to see the times as they check in. But I mean, to me, it didn't seem like it would have been that long.
Yeah. But they all end up being at the travel agency at the same time, and Nicole basically says to Jason, Amy, and Tim and Marie, along with her hubby Travis, that we all six need to work together to go against Leo and Jamal. And you kind of thought that, you know, wondered how long that would last. But they all suspected that they, you know, mad respect that they give Leo and Jamal for, you know, they all thought, you know, maybe they pull something out of their, you know, rabbit out of their hat and find a way to get ahead of them. But we find out that the 6:10 flight was not available, and they all were on the 6:20 flight, where Leo and Jamal added an extra leg to their flight to catch the Hong Kong connection, which was the one that would arrive 10 minutes early. And everybody on the plane kept thinking, oh, they're just messing with our heads. They're going to pop in and get on the plane, you know, at the last minute. But they never showed up. And then I thought, Mary, and I don't know if you felt this too, you thought, well, okay, if they're adding another connection, Leo and Jamal adding another connecting flight, if that's going to, you know, mess up and they're going to miss one, but they didn't. And their plane arrived at 6:12 a.m. and the other three teams arrived at 6:17 a.m. So really no significant time advantage. 5 minutes is nothing in this race, right?
Right. I mean, it is if it comes down to the end and you lose by 5 minutes.
Well,
But this early into the race, there's always catch-up, you know.
And then they get at the airport, and Leo and Jamal didn't have any trouble. We didn't see them having any trouble catching a cab.
No, it was as if the taxi was right out there waiting, wasn't it?
Yep. But the other three the other three teams come out, and they couldn't find enough cabs, and I don't know if one of them got somebody to call for cabs or whatever, but they're in Tokyo, they basically said, you know, let's get the third cab to one of the drivers. And this was really bizarre, I thought, that one of the cab drivers basically refused to go on until a third cab arrived. Was that weird?
It was to me. Because, you know, this is a race. Everybody for themselves. And you've seen before where other people, where they all get taxis called, and then it's the first cab comes, a taxi or whatever comes, and they leave. This time they made them wait.
And then Marie also throws in, nobody knew, you know, they just had the name of the place or the temple,
right,
that they had
Marie
to go to.
Right, Marie, she knew the address.
Do you think she did, or she was, do you think she really did, or she was just saying that to?
I think she's a smart player.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get a hold of a local on the airplane, I would always find out where I'm going.
Yeah, she did say that she did her research, and I agree. She's been pretty smart preparing for every leg, it seemed. So with that little bit of a lead, Lee and Jamal showed up to the temple where all the ceramic cats were, and in their clue, it was a detour, and it was either knock it down or call it up. And knock it down, apparently in the clue, was enough information there that it was going to be a Japanese game show. And Leo and Jamal, after seeing a previous season that went through Tokyo, they wanted to do the game show. And I remember that chicken one. That was so fun. And, you know, I don't know if Leo and Jamal really cared which sounded quicker, you know, one or the other, but I think they really wanted to experience a Japanese game show. At least that's what the edit seemed.
Yes. I would have too. I mean, because when we watched it season 20 or whenever it was, you know, they was like, golly, that would be so cool, because, like, we're such huge reality fans, and we've watched the Japanese game show before when
yes,
it came on American TV, and just loved every bit of it. And then you get a chance to go on there, gosh.
That is a memory that they will always have, and it they have so much fun at those wacky game shows. But it was either knock it down or call it up, and knock it down was the game show, and the contestants, the teammates, had to be human bowling balls.
Bowling balls.
And they went down. The slide kind of looked like those big, long slides at state fairs, you know, where you get on a blanket and go down the state fair slide, and at the bottom were the bowling pins. And they had to get a strike, which, you know, at first I thought, well, they can knock down four, and then the next time they can knock down three, and then, you know, I thought maybe they could, you know, do it that way, but no, they had to get an actual strike. And call it up was they had to make a phone call inside a giant goldfish tank. Well, the goldfish tank was actually an old
telephone booth
filled with water and goldfish swimming around.
It was sealed pretty tightly, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And apparently it was a little chilly, the water was, and they had to take a breath, get underwater, dial a phone number, and once they dialed the phone number, they had to listen on the receiver to hear, you know, a phrase that they then had to repeat to their partner, and their partner had to go to the clue lady and or whoever it was and to repeat it back exactly. But
you know, you're old when you hear Phil say obsolete phone booths. You go,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So Leo and Jamal, you could tell that this was going to be tough. And, you know, they pushed one down and they didn't get a strike. And then another one down and they didn't get a strike. It was it was a tough tough competition. And at any rate, the other three teams are still locked in their cabby things, and they thought they were all going to go to this game show. And I didn't write down the name of the studio or whatever, but none of the drivers knew where this studio was.
It was Media Studio.
Yeah, and, you know, what if you went to L.A. and you said, I want to go to Studio City, or I want to go to MGM? You would think a cab driver would know where the TV studios were. That kind of, you know.
What? That's what you're not understanding. These cab drivers, they can't speak English. They don't call it Media City.
You
know,
some of these cab drivers, too, don't know where.
They have that Japanese thing they talk.
A lot of cab drivers only know about going from major hotels to the airport.
Right, and so none of the clues will ever be in the native language. It's always in English.
Oh no, not normally. That's when you find a local and you ask them to write it in that language.
Ah, okay. Because somebody, I can't remember who made the comment that none of them could read it, and because it, what, there weren't symbols, you know, there weren't the Japanese characters.
I think that was Tim. It was either Tim or Jason said that.
Anyway, so I can't remember exactly, but the three teams that were locked into this trio of cab drivers that they couldn't talk the cab drivers out of, you know, splitting up, end up getting out, and where they get out is actually was the location of the call it up fish tank. And
at Canuta Park.
There you go. Thank you, hon. And Jason and Amy, Nicole and Travis all noticed where it was, and they tried to kind of hide it from Tim and Marie, because Tim and Marie were really focused on finding this studio, and the other two teams kind of sauntered over to find the call it up location, and Tim and Marie finally got a cab driver to know where they were going, if I recall correctly. So Tim and Marie ended up going to the media studio, and the other two teams went and started doing the fish tank thing. And that really went pretty quick. I've seen past Amazing Race seasons where you have to repeat a phrase that you hear, and I don't remember anybody getting it on the first try. It always seems like multiple tries, but both teams got it the first time, which I thought was pretty good.
It was Welcome to Tokyo, Wasabi Tabalu. Tabalu?
What does that mean, Mary?
Welcome to Tokyo.
Oh, Wasabi, whatever.
No, Wasabi. They even showed what it meant. I forgot to write it down. I'm going to Google it while we're talking.
But Amy was the first one to go in. She first went underwater, and she did not take a deep enough breath. But the second time she went down, she dialed the phone number, got the message, came up, and she repeated exactly. And then Travis and his little Speedo, he gets it as well, and repeats it correctly on the first try. And are you finding it yet? Just interrupt me when you
haven't yet.
Okay. Anyway, so they get their clues, and it says make your way, and I just write down generic words, not the location, but make your way to this fountain.
It was Fountain Shinjuku Quin.
Wow, good on you. And anyway, then we hear Tim and Marie show up at the game show and start talking to the host, and they said that, you know, they were ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, and the host says, oh, an American love story. And Marie says, no, an American Horror Story.
He's like, what is that? And then Jim said, she broke my heart.
Oh, yeah. That was the first we heard of that.
Yes.
Anyway, then shortly thereafter, Leo and Jamal get a strike, and then Tim and Marie are doing the slide thing, and she figures that Tim has more weight and will get down there faster. And sure enough, Tim gets a strike, so they both move on. And Leo and Jamal then find that they have to do their speed bump. And their speed bump is to capture a fake rhino that escaped from the zoo. It was kind of cheesy. And here's the other thing.
They thought
is,
it was going to be as simple as just go put the net on it and catch it.
It did.
And
it
the whole deal
more.
Was you've got to do the routine with us.
Yep. And but the other thing that kind of bothered me, I don't know why, whether it should or shouldn't, but they were doing this rhino capture speed bump right in plain view. I mean, it was just yards away from, you know, the next roadblock.
Challenge, yeah.
And I don't know if I should have been bothered by that, but the other three teams arrive, and this is the first time they actually see Leo and Jamal, you know, and they realize that, you know, or maybe they did a bit earlier than that. I think Tim and Marie figured it out at the game show, but there they are at their speed bump, and then they, you know, Leo and Jamal can see, you know, the other teams arriving and assembling that the robot, but
kind of seemed unfair, don't you think?
Yeah,
that they could watch. I mean, they were doing their routine and all, but still, they had an opportunity to watch things ahead of time when everybody else showed up and had to do it.
Mary, do you think that the possibility of the delay in the cabs and then this being so close to the other was to keep them in the race, or a little bit, maybe not keep them in the race, but keep it close? I don't know. I have conspiracy theories about stuff on these
shows. David Jr. would be agreeing with you right now. He said, "You make sure they know my you know, because he's like, they're doing that. They set them cab drivers up, and look, they're even cheating, letting them watch."
It makes you wonder.
It does.
At any rate, at the roadblock, the roadblock was called Pipe Up or Go Home, is what I wrote down. Is that? I think that's what
that's
it was.
That's what I got.
And they had this little itty-bitty miniature robot statue. First of all, they said one-third of the world's robots are used in Japan, which I always love those little informative tidbits that Amazing Race shares in the countries they're at. And I did not realize that Japan has, you know, one-third
of
the world's working
robots.
Yeah. And at any rate, they had to look at this little, maybe 6-inch tall model of a robot, and they had to assemble these large tubes to look exactly like this little miniature model. And they were, all these cardboard tubes were, had to be fit together. And we have, and I'm certainly interested to hear what you thought of this strategy, Mary, but we had Nicole and Amy deciding, they were the ones doing a roadblock, Nicole and Amy, and I think Marie was doing it, and then eventually it was Leo that was doing it for their team. But for Amy and Nicole,
not really that they decided they would do the roadblock. When you're this far in the game, the rules are there has to be an even amount of roadblocks. It had to be Nicole, Amy, Leo, and Marie to do the roadblock.
Right, and that really, I think, came into play for Nicole and Travis in the final legs she had to do a lot of those. But what I meant was the strategy that
of them helping each other.
Amy and Nicole decided to help each other and do one of the robots together and get it right, and then both work on the second one and get it right. And I initially thought, this is a good idea, and especially when I saw how hard it was fitting those tubes in, they really needed each other's, body masses to help out. But
thought so until you saw Marie come in and bang it out.
Yeah, she really did. But
what did you
think about them working together like that?
I'm not going to knock it because they have worked together a lot. It seems to me like Jason and Amy has pretty much helped out 75% more than Nicole and Travis, because it's always seeming to be Nicole stuck in a bind and Amy has to get her out.
Yeah,
But this is the way they've worked all along. I'm not going to knock it, but it was extremely harder, I think, to work on two separate ones than it was for them just to, hey, this is what I'm doing,
Yeah, and you're right. Nobody was helping out Marie, and you kind of understand after watching the season how people felt about Marie, but she really overcame a lot of those, problems and did extremely well. But nobody would tell her that there was this little model robot, I think, until finally Leo pointed it, or who was doing it? Leo. Yeah. But at any rate, it was pretty hard. I think Tim and Marie had ended up there last in that competition, and she, on her own, was able to finish that her robot first. I think that's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And they got their clue, and they were told they had to go to a busy downtown area of Tokyo and find this roaming vending machine that somebody was inside and kept moving around and walking around. And I really thought that was, when I first saw that was where they had to find it, I thought this is going to be really hard to find.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a Times Square type thing, very crowded. And I've got the place as Shibuya Scramble Crossing.
Okay.
But, it was crowded, and traffic in other countries is just, you're going to cross the road, then you're risking your life, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So
I just thought when I first, got a peek of what they had to, what they had to do and find it, I thought initially that it was going to be a lot harder. Now, maybe it was, and they just had good editing.
And they didn't show it right. But the edit showed it to be just right there and simple.
Right. Anyway, so Amy finished her robot second, and she goes right back and stays behind to help Nicole. And you could see that Jason was supporting her staying for a little while, but as it went on, he got frustrated in wanting her to leave. And Travis was, feeling a little guilty. I don't know how to put it, but at any rate,
frustrated. He was upset. He was let down the whole time.
Yeah, I will bring this up right now because it continued through the entire episode. But Travis, not only this episode, but the last several legs, we've noted that he's gotten a little harsh with Nicole and been a little, you know, judgmental and frustrated with her. But I think you can probably relate to his, you know, how he was feeling, right?
Well, I mean, Dave Jr. could more than me, because he's the one who expected me to be Superwoman, and I couldn't do it as fast as everybody else, or, you know, so I could, because, you know, that's, I understand, it's the competitiveness in the man, in him and David Jr. They just want to win, and you got a partner who can't do it as fast as the other ones, and, but I don't know, I mean, I think that there's no excuse. 4 times in a row, Nicole's just like, she stresses out and just it just goes crazy, goes berserk.
Do you think for future teams, you know, that get on, that is a key to racing, to split up the roadblocks more evenly? Because she really ended up having
Yeah. But, you know, that's the way it was with me and David. We were 6th place. It came down to the end. I had to do every roadblock.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the one thing you'll learn. We'd done it twice, so on All-Stars you'll see I did the first 2 roadblocks. Because that's what you learn, is you can't, you know, just let your other partner do everything. You've got to learn to do it yourself, and there's other, you know, for me, there's other women teams out there, and they can do it. Why can't I?
Right.
So that is one of the biggest things that can help any team on the race is share, you know, just go into this race, and you're going to do one, and I'm going to do the other. But then you also have to have the smarts to know if you see the challenge and you know that your partner, even though it's not your partner's turn, but your partner can exceed at that, then you need to give them that one. But still, you have to share those, because it's going to come down to the end and everybody will be in the same boat as Nicole and Travis.
Right, right. I think that is a key to being successful. But at any rate, so I think Tim and Marie, wait a minute, Tim and Marie got to that vending machine first, and then Jason, Amy, Nicole and Travis, and Leo and Jamal. Leo was having trouble with the robot by himself and just could not, you know, catch up when looking for that vending machine. But so they get the clue from the vending machine to the pit stop, which is, and I just wrote down the Kono Shrine. There's another word in there, but
I got Kono Hachimangu Shrine.
Yeah, okay.
And there's a robot standing there with Phil. Welcome to Tokyo.
That was cool.
It was. I'd have loved to meet that robot. You think somebody was inside there?
I think so.
Or do you think that's a real live robot?
I'll have to go back and look. Like I said, I was watching with knowing that I had little time to to pause and do that kind of stuff. But you never know. Maybe it was a real one. I mean, they have been the leaders.
Know.
But so Tim and Marie.
If so, I think it would be the first non-human to be at that.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. Tim and Marie arrived first, and they went a trip to Aruba, and Phil
I love it. She said, we want a trip to Aruba and Hawaii. We're just going to put them in a hat and draw.
Yeah, because it was like this romantic trip to Aruba with a nice, like a suite or something like that. And, yeah, but at any rate, so then Jason and Amy come in second. That's their 6th time coming in second, which tied a record. And I have no idea if that was only one team that had done that in the past. Or do you know the Amazing Race history, trivia, of who else got six second-place finishes? Or That's a tough question, I know. I'm sorry.
I don't.
But,
yeah, I do not.
Because a lot, you would think, I think I've seen before where they've said, you know, where they've shown the teams that they
had. If I had to guess, I think I would say BJ and Tyler.
Okay.
The hippies from season 9. Because they stayed pretty, you know, in the first teams almost the whole time.
Okay.
And then at the end, they ended up winning.
And then Nicole and Travis come in third, and Leo and Jamal come in last, and
finally are eliminated.
Yes, and this is one of the only times, I think, every season where Phil says the last team to arrive, you know, he normally says may be eliminated. This time
right.
It was will be eliminated. We knew that was coming, obviously. But I think Leo and Jamal had a good exit, seemed to, you know, really have enjoyed their time. You know, they had some controversy in the way they, you know, played, but they had fun in everything that they did, don't you think?
I think they did. I think they had fun in lying. I think.
yeah.
I think they really did. A lot of times they really frustrated me on this race because it's as if they would take 10 seconds to be funny and not race, you know?
Yes, and you have that little thing in your head going tick-tock, tick-tock, quit
yeah,
wasting your time.
Yeah, 10 seconds to lose the race.
But at any rate, this Final Four was a great Final Four, don't you think?
I love the whole season. This season, you know, we've been off TV since 2007 was our last year. So 6 years ago. And this is, you know, races twice a year. That many seasons go by, and this is the one season that reminds me of both of our seasons. It's like the people remind me of season 10. The places they go reverse around the world remind me of season 11. The challenges, I can throw in season 10 and 11. This was an amazing year, great casting,
I think so too.
And the mind of Bertram and Elise is just, they're crazy. What they put people through, and they think it's funny.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course they do.
Imagine final leg climbing a glacier, I would die.
Oh yeah. Anyway. Wow, I really thought we'd finish this off in an hour, and I'm looking at the clock, and I've been talking too much, I guess. Hold on here a second. We'll, I normally don't do this. It's normally my co-host, but we'll try not to go over too much longer. Before we talk about the final hour and the 12th leg, there's somebody that came on the switchboard that I'll bring up, and you can feel free to make comments or whatever in the show, and that's Mr. Shady. Don't make too much noise over there, bud.
I'm not. I was just
all
setting
right.
up.
Sean, Mary just said hi.
Hey, Mary.
Hi.
So, how's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Oh, great. How are you doing?
We've got Richard or Mr. Mac also on.
Hey, Mr. Mac.
It's nice to talk with you.
Same here. So, what was everybody?
Did you have any quick comments about the first hour?
No.
Before? Okay.
No, nothing about the first hour. Just it was kind of sad to see the Afghanimals go.
Yeah, I was pulling my favorite team going into tonight was Jason and Amy, and I think my second was probably going to be Nicole and Travis, but all four of them. I mean, there was things I really enjoyed watching, you know, with Tim and Marie and their running a good race, and also Leo and Jamal. At any rate, so we get the departure of the 12th leg, and Tim and Marie leave first at 6:08 a.m., Jason and Amy at 6:15 a.m., and Nicole and Travis at 6:22 a.m. And
with that, did you notice 6:08 is only 7 minutes from Jason and Amy at 6:15, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jason was complaining. He said that Amy had, instead of spending 5 or 6 minutes helping her, that he had spent 12 minutes helping her.
Oh, my God. This is why I need you on here with me.
I was like, when I caught that time, I was like, David, they would have came in first.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right. 7 minutes, and you're absolutely right. Tim and
the
Marie,
coolest thing is when they started off this race, we find out that Tim and Marie have a contract.
Oh, I was about ready to mention that. So as they're getting ready to leave, they open it up and they find out that, or Phil says that they have to travel over 5,700 miles to Alaska. And then the next thing I wrote down was Marie reveals that when she got Tim to agree to go on the race with her, she made him sign a contract that gave her 60% to 40%. I thought, wow, I don't think I've ever heard of anything like that. That blew me away. And
60-40, it's pretty.
That
funny.
Was definitely funny.
It was very funny, but it fit right with Marie's personality too. I mean,
yeah.
it didn't really surprise me that much. But they then fly, you know, all together to Juneau, Alaska, and that was the strangest. Here they're in the U.S. and they come out of the airport terminal. And they cannot find taxis. They're running and chasing these vans of taxis, and they're fighting for taxis. It sounded like somebody may have called for taxis, and then they go up to one of them and said, "Did you call?" "Yeah, it was me." I was totally lost. I didn't know who had done what, but that was a crazy competition right at the cab lane.
That's the finale. You know, you're all three going for $1 million. You're the closest you'll ever get. Get out of that airport and go. And that's what surprised me. There wasn't three taxis waiting.
Right. And it was, I mean, they had even had an overhead shot of you know, from a helicopter, I assume, of them. I was worried that somebody would get hit by a cab the way they were just running out there like that. But anyway, they were to travel to this harbor and find Amazing Race marked boats that they were to get on, these speed boats. And the funniest thing, and I guess she wasn't hurt, but they showed Marie turning, taking a corner and totally wiping out on what must have been a wet wooden dock.
She went down hard, too.
She did go down hard. So they all are getting in those boats about the same time. And those, I don't know how fast they were going, but they were going fast.
Speed boats. Those looked cool, didn't they?
It did. And probably
I bet
was pretty,
it was cold, though.
I was just going to say, too, it was probably pretty... pretty darn cold, and the water spraying in their faces, but they were just the adrenaline. They probably didn't even worry about it. But anyway, they had to. Was that where they had to find a marked island? No, that was later. Excuse me. But they had a roadblock where they had to get on bush planes and simulate supply drops from at. Going 60 miles an hour and at least 150 feet above ground, and had to drop these packets to hit a target that was on the ground.
That looked like a lot of fun.
It kind of did, but all three women, again, maybe they were forced to. I'm not always clear, you know, when it happens, but it was all three women that were in the planes and had to drop these things. And I forget who said, who was it, one of the guys said she's good at football?
Marie had played football at a younger age.
Okay, that was who it was.
So Tim was, like, confident that Marie can hit it because she's played football.
Yep. And here is where everything I kind of felt like it was in the bag for who was going to win. Because Amy comes around on her first drop, she misses it, but on her very second pass, she hits the bullseye. And she gets the clue, and it's a route info that they're you know, going to be going via helicopter to a glacier, and they have to go up and down these walls and go through an ice cave and finally arrive at this destination where they have to chip their next clue out of the ice. But before we get to that, I wrote down, and you can imagine, because these planes have to, you know, circle around and get in line, and you don't know how long it takes for the planes when they miss their target. But Marie, finally, she hits the target on her 12th attempt. And Travis just, he's powerless. That's the other thing, Mary.
Yeah, he has to sit there and watch, you know. He can't do anything to help.
He could, you know, I'm sure if he could, he would communicate and say, drop it soon.
Now, yeah.
Drop it now, drop it later, wave his hands, do something, you know. He just was powerless down there, and he was so frustrated. Nicole finally hit the bullseye on her 21st attempt. So we had Amy getting it on her second try, Marie on her 12th, and Nicole on her 21st.
Yeah, that pretty much sealed the deal for me, I thought.
Did you feel that way too, Mary?
Oh, yeah. Came up to the actual last challenge, you know, that... Really,
okay,
they were
absolutely.
All three there at the same time.
Yeah, that
so
is true.
It could have been anybody's game.
I would love to know the time between the teams, you know, how much time they had between each team, you know.
Yeah, where this is the finale, we won't see a time.
Right.
You know, next Sunday, we're not going to see how long it took them.
Anyway, so... they arrive at this wall of ice that behind the ice you could actually see the yellow and black clue cards, and they had to chip those cards out of the ice.
Well, first they had to go down that glacier. My gosh, I'd have died, I'm telling y'all. And then you got to walk across a double ladder.
Yeah.
And Nicole dropped one of her ice picks.
And underneath that ladder was a pretty good drop to the floor.
Oh, gosh.
So,
like 500 feet or so to die.
I thought
Nicole was going to die, guys.
Were you thinking of the wall when you saw that?
No. No.
Okay.
I climbed the Great Wall of China 10 times. I mean, no. I would die doing this.
So... we had a lot of time between these teams, and obviously Jason and Amy were chipping out these clues, and a lot of the clues said, try again. You know, they didn't have a clue on it, and they kept having to get out these things before they finally found one that had a clue on the back of them. But at any rate, when they got the clue, it said that they had to take a tandem kayak and paddle to a marked island for the next clue. And then I wrote in the notes, in the editing, we go back and we see Travis and Nicole, Travis makes it across the ice thing into the other side, and Nicole just keeps plugging away. She doesn't give up. She was terrified, I felt.
She's got some bad luck, though, don't she, for real?
Yes. And
yeah.
when they get across.
She has that cloud over, you know, that bad luck cloud, you know, these last few
days. And I stick right then, they'd had to send down a helicopter in that little gap to get me.
And they rappel down one side. They walk across this ladder over a crevice to get to the other side, and then to get up the opposite wall, they have two hand picks, two ice picks that they boom, boom. And right before commercial, Nicole's the last one to do this. She drops one of the two ice picks. And I thought, okay, get over, you know, commercial, hurry up.
Yeah, I thought, okay, they're going to give her another ice pick, right?
Yeah. What is she going to do? How is she going to do this? I mean, not to you know, talk badly of women, but I thought maybe a man could maybe just use his arm strength to pull himself up the rope, but how is she going to do this? And the comeback from the commercial...
Well, I ain't saying this. I didn't think anybody could do it with one.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I thought, okay. And she made the comment, what am I going to do now? And she just grabbed one ice pick. Now, they did have in their shoes, they did have picks, you know, or whatever, protruding from their toes.
Or whatever, yeah.
And that
but
girl...
But still, she had to use a lot of upper body strength.
Oh, my God. She did a great job. She used that pick to pull her up, and then she anchored both her toes into below her. And
I just got to thinking, three challenges ago when she did the musical instrument, how she just gave up.
Yeah.
That was nothing, you know? And she just gave up. But yet, in the hardest challenge I've ever seen on this race, especially to lose an ice pick, and honest to goodness, I think it's unfair they didn't give her one, Lord of mercy. But still, she didn't give up, or it didn't show it, you know?
No.
I'd have been crying, guys. I'd have been crying, and, ooh, gosh, yeah. I'd have been in trouble.
They've got, between them, they've got five kids, and although she didn't say it, don't you think, Mary, that she probably, if she thought of quitting, she pushed through it?
Oh, I know she did, because I thought of quitting at the Great Wall of China, but I didn't want my kids to see me fail.
Right.
So, yeah, as a mother, you think you don't want your kids to watch you on national TV not do it, you know? And
I think that was a great motive.
She surprised me so much.
Yep.
Just through that right there, because everything else she might have screwed up on and all that, but who loses an ice pick and keep going?
I know. That was a very memorable moment in this season, I think. That says a lot about her. I really like that. So they have to paddle these tandem kayaks, and we still have a good lead by Jason and Amy, and they have to find an Amazing Race marker on an island. And I don't know. They didn't really show that. I thought was going to be really difficult. And I thought, you know, people are going to make up time if they can't find this marked island, but they were able to find.
Yeah, I thought of all the islands around Alaska, how are they going to know, you know?
Exactly. But
it seemed easy for all of them to find the big red flag in the middle.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I think we already had established that it was frustrating race, you know, in the last several legs for Travis and Nicole.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessary to show their frustration in those kayaks. I just think that was piling on, if you know that term.
Yeah.
You know,
kicking a dead horse.
Right. We didn't need to see Travis, you know, yelling at her in that kayak. There was no use. We didn't need it. That's just my own personal opinion.
Yeah,
oh,
I
just wish that Travis would have realized, you know. I mean, yeah. He had no chance. They had no chance against Tim and Marie and Jason and Amy, you know. So
I mean,
why?
You could show some part of the frustration and everything, you know, in the edit, but, you know, just to let it go on and on and on and on, I thought it was just too much.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you guys agree with me, because I felt that way too. But so when they find the clue box on the marked island, it says, now take a helicopter ride back to Juneau, and once you get there, make your way to this trailhead for your next clue.
Blueberry Hills Trailhead.
Thank you. The Blueberry Hills Trailhead. And as we see later, it was not an easy place to find. It was kind of a remote area, and they all seemed to find it okay. But here's what I wrote down, and I thought it was hilarious. When the copter lands in Juneau and they're looking for a cab, Jason, I think it was Jason, goes up to the cabbie or somebody and says,
Do you speak English? Amy's like, really? Yeah, that was quite funny.
That cracked me up. At any rate, and then Tim and Marie arrived, but they go to this trailhead, and they have to, as we always see, there's some kind of assembly required in the final challenge to the order of their race, whether it is what country, and, you know, repel yourself and put a pin in the countries in the order that you went, or, you know, the hellos.
Or the people that you met at the mat. You know, there's always something.
And so they have to assemble these totem poles, with each of the totem poles spelling out the name of the currency of the countries that they visited, and in the order that they visited. And Amy says she wrote details down through the whole race, and I don't know if you were doing it back then or if people started taking more detailed notes as seasons have gone on, but that seems
to be... Yeah, we did. We wrote down everything.
Yeah. But Amy says...
Money, we didn't. But the thing is, we kept an extra... I can show you, if we ever met, that I've got coins from every country I've ever been in.
Oh, cool.
I've even got like 10,000 Vietnamese dong in bills, you know? I think if I went to Vietnam, I'd be pretty rich. But, you know, I'd just take out my fanny pack, and then you know the order of the countries you went in. That's one thing you'll never forget, the whole race. And then you just... Every coin that you have, or every currency, if it's a paper bill or whatever, has the country on it. We've got a Mongolia bill, and then we've got Vietnamese dong, which is a bill, and then everything else is coins from every other country we've been to on both races.
That's so cool.
That is neat.
At the Totem Pole Challenge, we already get from the edit, you know, as being a Jason, I'm rooting for Jason and Amy, and I was going, oh, no, you know, is this, you know, because Tim and Marie then show up second, and Marie, always confident, seemed to remember things. And then the other part of that totem pole challenge is a couple of the guys who were getting their fingers between, and they could have gotten hurt. I mean, those look pretty heavy.
I'm sure it hurt at the end of the day.
Got to work that $1 million.
it did appear, and I'm pretty sure it was the case, that the artwork, even if they didn't remember how to spell all the currency or know all the currency.
The artwork matched up.
Yeah, the artwork was such that they could match them up, and they were able to do that. And I wrote down, because I'm also trying to get the show ready, that Tim and Marie showed up second, and I thought it was going to be pretty close. I don't remember, did we get to see Nicole? Yeah, Nicole and Travis were there.
They showed up there too.
Yeah. So all three teams were there at the same time, so that must have taken...
It must have taken a long time, because you know Nicole and Travis on that mountain, Ice Mountain.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and plus 21 attempts compared to the second attempt?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of time made up, and it seemed really close that Tim and Marie seemed like they were getting close to getting the totem poles correct. But And the other thing, unless we get, it was an edit, the other thing I was thinking is, you know, are they going to get it wrong when they ask the judge? And none of them got it wrong, at least that we saw. At any rate, so Jason and Amy leave, and they end up finding the finish line, and after having 6 seconds, they now got their second first place. And Phil says, after four continents, nine countries,
and more than 35,000 miles,
you have now won the $1 million. So,
wow.
I don't know why, but nine countries didn't seem like that many. How many countries did you...
It's not, no.
How many countries did you go to in both your seasons?
Oh, gosh. We were out... We were sixth place. We went to nine countries.
Wow.
But Amazing Race in the last, I'd say since season 20, I think, they've tried to save a lot of money. And you'll notice they'll do two legs in countries.
Right.
We'd fly to a different country every 3 days or every 2 days, every other day.
It's been since about, what, about 2008, 2009?
Yeah, about 2009. It was after our seasons.
Yeah, you know, when the economy was really going
south.
Yeah,
the economy went down. They decided that they'd take trains more often and stay in the same country, do two or three legs in one country. But they're still covering the same. I mean, like, yeah, I think in our season 10, they went a total of 14 countries, 28,000 miles. So they've covered 35,000 miles, but they only went nine countries.
Pretty amazing.
But then we find out something. I love Tim and Marie, Paul. I'm telling you, I love them. Those people just go crazy. I'd love to watch them again next season.
Yeah, I don't remember if you liked them this much right at the beginning of the season, but
no,
I know it's...
No, everybody I picked at the beginning of the season was eliminated the next week. Remember that?
Yeah.
So then I said, well, I'm going to choose Tim and Murray because everybody hates them, and if I choose them, they'll be gone next week. But then I got to seeing myself in Murray, and I started loving them.
I thought she was hilarious.
Oh, I think she's TV.
She is.
But she wouldn't be her without him. Together, I honestly wish they had fell in love again.
Aww.
Like real love, not just say, I love him as a friend.
Right, which they said.
But Phil asks her more questions than he asked Jason and Amy, who won the race. Because he's like, how did you pick this guy to be your partner? She said, on the deadline day, he was right there beside of me.
Wonder if they're going to be on All Stars.
That was the first spoilers, but then everybody changed it to the Afghanimals, which I would much rather watch Tim and Marie again.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder... Because that was the first spoilers we heard that Tim and Marie were going to be on. If they were chosen, do you think if they're not going to be on, it's because of their relationship? They really,
I was told they were asked. I was told they were asked.
Yeah, I had heard that they were asked.
They refused.
I think they're a great team. I mean, even if they don't have any romantic connection. I felt
do it
that
for
they,
$1 million.
Yeah. I wonder why they, Mike, I guess what I'm getting at is why
because
if they were
when you
asked.
You get off the race, you don't understand the edit you're going to get on TV. And then you go to watch and then you read all these blogs and all these websites and people literally hate Marie. I don't, but people do. I can only imagine what people saying about her.
Haters are going to hate.
Yeah, but I think she probably had an overwhelming amount of haters, and maybe even some in real life and not just on a computer. That right there can affect it, you know?
Yeah. You know, after, the stuff from Big Brother this year, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, how many people are going to go, I'm not going to do that show.
Or people's going to say, I've learned a lesson and I know how to talk.
Yeah.
I know what not to say on national TV. But then, yeah, you're always going to think, what if something accidentally comes out? Am I going to be fired from my job?
Yeah, good, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well,
but I honestly think it was, I've heard it, they were asked for All-Stars and because of personal reasons decided not to do it, which makes me really sad because together I think they make a fierce team. He can put up with her and she can dish it out. I love them. But still, Jason and Amy won. Give them all the props. Her with the sprained ankle, I do believe.
Yeah.
And one of the hardest finale legs I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was cool having it end in Alaska.
That makes you earn $1 million, you know? When they ended it in Alaska before, I think they had to jump in that lake in freezing cold waters with just their bathing suits on. Now, I'd rather do that than climb that ravine thingy. Go down it and then across. That the scariest part would have been walking across a ladder where they had no, like, safety harnesses on. Did you notice that when they were walking across that ladder? They had to hold on to that rope.
Well, it wasn't a safety harness, but I thought I saw a second rope coming up from the rope that they were using. So I don't think they would jeopardize their safety.
Oh, I do. I think they was in danger. I'm telling you, it just makes me sweat right now thinking about poor old Nicole.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's alive.
I give props to CBS. I give props to those final four and all the teams. They really, I thought, did a great job this season.
Well, CBS is batting 1,000 this year with Survivor and Amazing Race.
They're doing a good job, aren't they?
My goodness.
Two great seasons.
Survivor.
Well, Big Brother was great, too. I didn't complain about Big Brother.
I enjoyed, there's a lot of people that didn't like it. I really, you and I both, Mary, enjoyed, once you strip away the awful things that people said, I thought there was great strategy going on and
Paul,
I was
guess who called Hannah today?
Huh?
Guess who called Hannah today?
Who?
Cherry Garcia had Judd call my daughter Hannah.
Oh,
that's great.
My goodness. Let me tell you.
She was sitting there fainting herself, and she was about to have a heart attack.
Oh,
she was like,
bless
I can't
her
believe
heart.
I'm talking to Judd.
I love him to death. He has been one of the most positive people to come out of that house. He is the one person that everybody loves. I think he could be a negotiator between those that are having a hard time. I wasn't able to watch the live streaming from the Toys for Tots all weekend, but I did watch some Friday night, and it looks like they were having a great time. I don't know if you watched any of it. I think Daniel, you probably watched some. Do you have anything to share? Because I.
What, about the Toys for Tots live feed?
Yeah.
The Toys for Tots, today, well, before I go on about the past couple of days, just today, when they were giving out the gifts to the kids, it was such an amazing thing. I saw the kids light up just looking at all the gifts and everything, and I honestly needed a box of tissues because I was tearing up so bad. and I wasn't even there, and I was supposed to be there, and I wasn't even there, and I was just crying, and because it was just such an amazing, amazing moment, and it was so cool. But well, it was not last night, but the night before, they were at a club. I think I forget what the name of the club was, but
the Chop
maybe
Shop.
The Chop Shop. I think it might have been the Chop Shop, and Gene was on stage. Gene from
Glasshouse.
Yes, was on stage with Michelle Costa, Alyssa, and Jesse, and they were all singing together. It was so funny and such an awesome thing to see. It was just like everybody was just having a blast and a great time.
Mary, you got to meet Gene. Isn't he wonderful?
Gene is like one of the most remarkable reality people that I've ever met. I loved Glass House. I loved him on the Glass House. I just honestly didn't think he should have been with that model and stuff. I told him that. But meeting him in real life last year at the Toys for Tots, and then we've met him. We've been with him a couple times since. And we were 2 hours in an airport, and he was on the opposite side of the terminal, way down there. And right before our plane takes off, like 30 minutes before, there comes Mean Gene, about 7 feet tall, just walking through the airport to come and tell us goodbye. And I was like,
"Oh,
gosh, wow. He's got a great big, big, big heart."
Yeah, he does. And everything that I have heard sounds like everybody's having a wonderful time. And, you know, Daniel, you spoke of the culmination of the whole weekend is the gifts on Sunday, and
mm-hmm.
when it comes off so well and emotional and positive way, I can understand how you would get emotional watching it. I was just busy doing other things, and so I didn't get to watch, but I will tell you this for those that are listening.
No, that ball game was pretty important, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They do think so too.
I don't know which game you got to see. I was watching my Vikings in a blizzard almost in Baltimore.
We saw it.
Oh, you did see it. That was crazy.
There was so much snow on those fields today.
I know. That's why I was thinking everybody's getting snow. But I wanted to mention that I've been told that tomorrow will be on Manic Monday. I'll be talking about this weekend, obviously, and hopefully we'll have some people that were there, you know, reality people calling in to share their experiences on tomorrow night. I do want to just make one comment, and I know I'll get some reactions. Survivor's last show, that tribal, I was so proud of Hayden. He really made that last episode and that tribal. He survived.
One of the best tribal councils ever.
He's not a
ever.
Quitter. I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
I loved Otis. And,
I would have loved it more if Tyson would have got that white rock, though.
I was, yes. I was thinking the same thing.
Not playing that idol that he had. If
yes.
he was on that white rock, it would have been poetic justice.
Oh, I can't stand it.
That was...
Here's
the other thing. Speaking of his idol, I thought he would catch more grief when he played his first idol for not sharing with people. You know, I thought,
uh-huh.
okay... You know, unless he did and we didn't get to see it in the edit, I thought, okay.
I don't think he did. Everybody looked shocked, including Jarvis.
Yes, and why didn't all these his allies say, hey, screw you, Tyson. You kept that quiet from us.
Because I think Hayden is right when Hayden's telling everybody, you take Tyson to the end, you're playing for second.
Well, I felt very bad for Katie,
yeah.
but... I felt like Sierra stepped it up. I mean, for her to stick to her guns like that. And
she played great, you know, she finally started playing the game.
Well, if Jarvis
yes.
had kept his mouth shut, I think Hayden would have been gone. So, you know, Jervis said he was got too cocky because he won the individual immunity, and he started mouthing off, and, you know, shooting his mouth off, and he just totally blew. If I were Tyson, that's who I'd want to cut next. I'd say,
yeah, this next episode is, you know, I can't wait. Well, it's going to be a finale. It's going to be, you know, the 3-hour Sunday finale, but I'm really looking forward.
Is it not on Wednesday night?
Yeah, we got a Wednesday show.
Yeah, Wednesday night and then Sunday night.
Is there one on Wednesday as well, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Wednesday show.
Okay, well,
we haven't had somebody come back from Redemption Island yet.
Oh, yep. So, yeah, so do you think in Wednesday's episode that somebody will come back from Redemption? They got to come back. They don't do that
on
the finale.
Yeah, I think they got
to. Tina.
If they come back at the beginning of the show, then what's her name be? She says she's the swing vote.
Monica.
Okay, let's say Kate comes back, or let's say Tina comes back, or let's say
Laura
comes back. I think any one of them would be with Hayden and Sierra. So it would make it a 3-3.
Yeah.
Which would be an even split.
It's not like
Laura's done awesome in those challenges on Redemption Island. I mean, she is totally.
Laura, yes. And then on Monica has done awesome in the
in the Survivor game on that island. I mean, I think they're stupid not to get rid of her last week. I would have, just because she's beat them at every challenge.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, you know, to me, it would have been, you know, when they had to do the revote after 3-3, that's when I would have cut her loose right on that second vote. That would have been the time to cut her right then.
Yeah.
Would have been to vote her out.
I need to mention, as we're talking about Survivor, because we didn't have a show Thursday, our heartfelt condolences and this, you know, how sad it is that we learned of Tina's son and Katie's brother tragically dying in a automobile accident.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
But at any rate, I want to wind this down and close it off and not extend it a second time here. I appreciate
it. Can I just tell you one more thing?
Absolutely, hon.
I've talked throughout this season about our high school football team.
Yes.
And just Friday, they won AAA Kentucky State.
That's great.
Outstanding.
And it was
congratulations.
Awesome, guys. So, you know, it's the beginning, because when we went on TV, we wore Belfry High School shirts. You can check, and in the back it says back to back to back, because we had won state 3 years in a row, and we wanted to show it, and we're proud of our school. And so this is the first one since then that they've won.
Wow.
But we make it to state every year, and we always lose to Louisville. And then this year we go and we play another team, Wayne County, and we ended up winning just by a field goal.
Wow.
So I want to say congratulations to Belfry Pirates. That's my nephew, Aaron, and my niece, Amber, is a manager, and my nephew, baby Jackie, is a manager.
Well, yes, congratulations. For winning state championships in high school is absolutely huge.
That's awesome. So now you can wrap up the show, but I had to put some Belfry in there.
Well, that's fine. And, Daniel, thank you for joining us on air.
No problem. Thank you for having me again.
Thanks,
all
Daniel.
Right. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely be here tomorrow night.
And I did mention Tina's son. another thing I'm sorry to say is that Daniel was supposed to be going out to Toys for Tots, but was unable to go due to the sudden death of his uncle. And I'm very sorry, and my heart goes out to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Daniel.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, bud. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Take care.
Take care, Daniel.
All right. And Richard, thanks for filling in again.
No worries. Sorry, I've been away so long and not in the chat room and stuff. After Big Brother US, I really got hooked on Big Brother Australia, and it was an amazing season. I had to have some reality show decompression. I was off of Twitter and Facebook for almost a month.
Been there, and we understand it. And Mary, thank you for a wonderful season of The Amazing Race, and I'm sure you're going to join us on some of our other shows because you're all about reality TV. But thank you so much for hosting
this. You did great, Mary.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you, Mac, for being here tonight for me. I miss Cherry a lot, though.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for stepping in, okay?
I appreciate it.
And, Paul, you've been awesome. I'm so proud to have another friend in Minnesota.
Okay. And we will be closing off the show with Ron, as we always do, and hopefully I can click the right buttons because I normally am not doing this. The Cherry is always doing it. So we'll see you guys tomorrow night, and thank you for another great season of The Amazing Race. Here's Ron to close off our show.
Come back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You're going to be listening to Manic Monday with Michelle Costa. The Manic Monday Rad Reality Show, and great guests tomorrow, great guests all week, so don't forget. Hey, well, let's close off the show.
Whoops.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
I'm just going to say have a good night and come back tomorrow. Love you guys. Good night.
Well, thank you again, guys. Say good night, Richard.
Good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night, Richard.
Say good night, Mary.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, John Boy.
Thanks again, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Be kind
bye-bye.
To each God other.
Bless.